What are you doing?
Getting the most response?
I think that I think it's tough to say because every user averages 25 to 50 pages. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would almost have to say that it would be really hard to say what. I think it's the total package.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one may give a little bit, and the other reinforces it, and the other reinforces it, and so on. But that's mm-hmm. really the total package.
Mm-hmm. So, you know,
if they realize that here's the website, and I get the email, I can't believe that people say, you love what you're doing. I can't believe that you made this free for everybody, and then you don't have annoying pop-ups and advertisements, and then you've got people just doing that to help others. That's the common theme in the email letters, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I felt when I first went to the website.
That's what I want people to continue to do.
Right.
I want them to know that there actually are people out there that are coming together that are not doing this for any other reason, but
mm-hmm.
to help out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what my intent would be, which is, you know, I share your intent also, but what I see as a challenge is for a person to be able to keep their vibration lifted, stay out of fear, and there is this thing going on where there's this positive influx of energy coming in from the cosmos, and that each person is like a receiving station for this energy, and this energy then is accepted into a person's system by their ability to keep their own energies open, the chakras open.
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of sources that are creating fear, a lot of reasons to create fear, and of course, even without outside sources, people have their own dilemmas and their own, you know, inner angst and their own difficulties and not having enough money, and you know, their girlfriend doesn't love them. They walk around half-crazed. So my goal would be to create a circumstance that would lift people out of those things. Not lift them, but inspire them. Yeah, to give them, first of all, the keys of, you know, how things are working on a cosmic sense, and then the keys to how to make it work for themselves in a personal sense.
That's trying to do that in my little way, too, as far as did you notice that I write daily quotes? Have you ever read those?
Yes.
And my brother now is writing Daily Triumph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just starting, but I've been writing these quotes for quite some time. And I write them just in the evening. I spend a little time quiet with myself. And I usually, something comes into me and says, this is going to be the topic. Or sometimes it's a little more difficult and I don't get a clear thought on it. But more often than not, it's something comes at me very fast. For some reason, I don't know. And it's always different times during that meditation, sometimes early, sometimes before it, sometimes after. But some way a message that needs to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm trying to do that in my little way. You know, personally trying to touch me. And that's what I wanted my brother to do, too, because you know, he's just a wonderful man. You know, one day I was thinking, I have people still asking me to finish my book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have 18 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it's done except for the spiritual aspect of it. So I only have chapters 1 through 3 done, and 3rd not even edited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was even thinking about, see, I don't know if I've read the book that I started.
Is it online?
Yeah.
No, I haven't read it yet. I didn't even know it was there, so.
Yeah. Those authored articles,
mm-hmm.
you'll notice that I have a click on authored articles, you see one that says, Being on the Road to Nowhere by Donald Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I call it Being on the Road to Nowhere is now here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere is now here. That's the cosmic joke.
Right.
You know, that's the greatest thing about life. You can laugh, so with such extreme force, because you have to do know the absurdity of this cosmic joke.
Mm-hmm.
Then you realize that you're nowhere, you're now here, it doesn't really matter.
How did you figure this out? How did you figure out this cosmic joke? Because, you know, there's people out there that don't know that. So, how do you get from not knowing that to knowing it?
You know, I guess it has to deal with your understanding of humor.
Uh-huh.
And how humor connects with people. You know, humor is a funny thing. And I think a lot of that stems where our humor originates,
mm-hmm.
Originally originates, is because of that cosmic joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it has communication value of when two people are either meeting or not meeting on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You didn't listen to my song tape yet, I'm sure, right?
No.
There's a song on there called, which relates to what you're saying, which you should listen to. It's called Do It Till You're Sick of It.
Do it till you're sick of it.
And it's a fairly funny song. You know, whenever I perform that, I've always got the crowd going nuts because everyone relates to it. It takes the idea that you're talking about, but it expresses it in a way that people understand.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it is people are so much, everyone, all the time, we're into our own little world and our own little dilemma, and we think that's all there is. And it's only like a tiny piece of the matrix. And as soon as you change your position in the matrix, suddenly your world changes. But the trick is, everything in your life validates the level you're operating on. So how do you get from the level you're operating on to a bigger position so your reality change?
Yeah.
Okay? That's what I think what you're trying to do. You're trying to create.
How do you teach somebody? You know, I've started to understand. How do you teach somebody about all this?
Mm-hmm.
You have to create. You know, really what it boils down to is imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I even wrote a quote on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we originally started with imagination as creative.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a thought, an imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, that's all we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that same quality, for we are an imagination, and that's what we should utilize. And people that don't open up the, and like even my parents, they say, look, try to use your imagination. Don't close your mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to open up your imagination, anything you could possibly imagine can be real.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start to increase their vibration, their own inner level, because they're open-minded to me and can be receptive at that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I think that if you go back to normal religion, the first step in normal religion, in ordinary religion, seems to be an accurate step. The problem is, it doesn't guide you to the next step. It says faith. Faith is like believing something is real before you absolutely know it. And then,
nothing exists.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like going into chaos, right? And then You know, in a sense, if we take a look at original creation, we have one energy form, which we refer to as God, separating itself, out of, coming from nothingness, creating an organization out of nothingness that suddenly, eventually, has become us in our physical world, right? Well, maybe we, in our individual life, can go back to the original chaos, okay? And in so doing, start creating our lives from out of that chaos, as opposed to having any pattern on top of it.
Well,
that we can do it right now. We can do it right in this moment. And instead of like responding to the matrixes and patterns that are in the world, stand back. Allow yourself to go into nothingness, and then let you recreate everything out of that nothingness, so that you're operating from source, from original source. Yeah. And then each of us becomes a vehicle by which we can change life around us. Not because we try to change it, but because we actually generate the energy which causes it to change. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the problem is, people don't want to go back to chaos because of fear. They think they'll lose themselves, okay? And in fact, when they get close to a couple of things that I have come to cognize is that people that start to get, you know, thinking of going doing this sounds like so far out. Can't even realize how close it is to them right at this moment.
Yeah.
And it's like people who are bipolar, I've come to the conclusion in observing them that they are very close to the chaos point. And they blow back and forth because it's like being in the center of the storm.
Yeah.
As you get close to the center, the winds are blowing.
That's
and
right.
So they're going.
Yeah.
And so then they take drugs, squelch the experience, instead of going through it. What?
Irresponsibility.
Okay.
Which, by the way, and by that I mean not irresponsibility, but a total lack of concern for what our society says they should be responsible for,
mm-hmm.
which is. And I agree with you right on, because bipolar people do fall in that line, and that's why there's so many of them today.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're being born in today, coming out of whether it be higher dimensions or whatever the case may be, and society slamming them
mm-hmm.
right up against the wall.
Right. You know, another disorder of people who are, and this is my idea, another disorder of people that are fairly evolved. ADD.
Yeah.
And you know, attention deficit disorder. And what I see, my take on ADD is that, you know, through all the channelings, questions, you know, studying I've done, there's a lot of people on the planet that have come in from higher dimensions to help, volunteer to come in here to help through this period we're in.
Yeah.
And they forget they're here. And those people are the ones that get ADD because they can't focus on their lesser missions. They can't concentrate until they find their real mission. It would be, wouldn't it? Yeah, well, I should tell you I'm recording this.
A young person is told so many times, doesn't explode.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you that I think one of the great values someone gets studying the stuff that's happened to me and my personal experience is that if they study it and if they sense that there's no way this guy can make this up and these things really happen, then I'm creating kind of proof, a real proof. I mean, it's almost scientific. There's so many factors here that there are very wise, very loving sources in other dimensions that are paying attention to humanity, that are willing to help us collectively and individually. So it's not like, you know, somebody can actually ask and get help and get connection and know that it happened and know that it's positive. But, you know, for most people, that idea is so far away from their waking reality that they don't believe it's possible. But by studying my material and seeing what happened for me, and, you know, I can tell you, I told you this before, but I'll say it again, people that are reading my book start to get messages. I mean, my whole experience is validated in a huge amount of physical events, you know, healings, future predictions, God knows what. And, you know, somebody studies, like, the website conversations with my girlfriend, like, they will see either I'm lying or this happened. And if it happened, if it really did happen to me, it's creating almost a validation proof that it's possible, and if it's possible for me, it's possible for someone else. And all somebody has to do is start looking, searching, seeking, studying.
That you have to begin with seeking and the desire and intent.
Yes.
For truth, the fact I was reading that in your book,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, the Raw were stating in one of the ending chapters in your book that once the seeker starts to seek, then the entities that are in the entire dimension are going to help guide them,
mm-hmm.
and they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to start seeking because
mm-hmm.
they actually want to help you.
Yeah.
So they'll put their suggestions, books, people, circumstances, places, and all of this will be working in concerted effort
mm-hmm.
to help you find what you seek. And it's funny because as soon as you start to seek, you've already built for intended or manifested timeline,
mm-hmm.
which makes it a reality instantly in the now.
Right.
And that's the thing that they say, well, I want instant gratification. Well, where's the answer?
You
don't realize now it's already built that answer into their timeline, and they just have to let go and experience it.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually told my story to certain people that I knew, old friends, and they're saying, well, how come they don't talk to me? How come I don't get into communication? I need proof. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, if somebody didn't prepare their consciousness for this kind of experience, they would be scared silly. They would not know. In fact, even myself, when, you know, Girlfriend X first started channeling, I had to say, can I trust this? Do I want to share it with anyone? You know, I kept it to myself for a long, long time of evaluation to get to the point where I was fairly confident that the information and the resonance of the information, by resonance, I mean, when you get information from a celestial source, you're not only getting words, you're getting a vibratory bridge to that source.
Yeah.
You're letting them into your psychic space. And so I don't want to be responsible for making a psychic bridge to a source that I'm not pretty certain is positive, okay? And so it's not just the words and the information. Most people, if something like this happens, would be so blown away by the phenomenon of it. First thing they do is brag to all their friends, oh, you won't believe what happened. Or else they'd be scared silly. They wouldn't know how to make of it. So, you know, to get this kind of experience, somebody says, prove it to me, show it to me, you've got to ramp yourself up. You've got to know who you want to communicate with and why. Because the why is a big thing. The, you know, as is said in Rod, the why is, why do you want to communicate with us? If it's just to have fun, like a little game, you know, why? Why should they bother with you? Humanity is on the precipice, and they're trying to help. You know, since I'm putting this on tape, you know, maybe somebody's going to listen to this and has no idea of my background. So maybe I should say a couple of words. I'm the author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I started writing the book 5 years ago, and the book documents the story of David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce, and pretty makes a pretty ironclad case that David Wilcock is in fact Edgar Cayce returned. But far more important than that is the messages coming from the celestial source, which I believe is the major group oversoul for our planet, that has identified itself as Ra. And probably half the book is messages from Ra explaining what's going on in our world right now, how to heal yourself, how to heal the planet. And you know, the book presents both a scientific and a metaphysical perspective on the big picture of life. And it's, since it's based on facts and circumstances, there's a lot that you don't have to just believe blindly, because it lays the groundwork of events in the world that couldn't happen unless this communication was real. So I wrote that book, and there were aspects that I was writing about that I couldn't validate, particularly the idea of ascension. And then 2 years later, I have a new girlfriend, and suddenly she's channeling. In the middle of whatever else we're doing, she's saying, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm communicating with another soul that identifies himself as the Elohim. And they're predicting newspaper headlines in advance. They saved my sister's life. And if you want to read about that, I have a website up, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. And maybe by the time, if this goes up on your site, maybe by this time we'll have some of the audio tapes of streaming where you can hear my actual conversations. And what blew me away, aside from the wisdom and the guidance they were giving me, was that I asked all these questions about things in my book that I really couldn't validate, and they gave exactly the same answers as I had written. And basically it talks about this dimensional shift and ascension, and these are things that, if they're real, it takes a lot of exposure for someone to say integrated into their being. Because as I watch people, I see, even though you don't need any metaphysical cosmic thing to look at the world and say life is not going to go on in the future the way it has in the past, and yet everyone is acting as if it is. They're acting as if the future, their goals, everything can be fulfilled. And let me just say, I wish it wasn't this way, because I don't want to take people's dreams away from them. And this is something each person has to evaluate for themselves. But without going into even anything cosmic, our world is falling apart. We have weather changes, we have earthquakes, we have tsunamis, we have economic instability. Yeah, economic instability. And so the thing is, one of those deals where things are going to fall apart into chaos, and out of chaos, I'm going to rebirth a new paradigm. But through this period of falling apart, it's very important that a person muster the strength to stay out of fear, because fear will create a more negative outcome than love, as it always does.
Elaborate on that. And there's one thing about having no fear, is it takes no strength. It actually takes acceptance. Pure acceptance. At that point, there is no fear.
Well, I think also the idea that there are of that you can trust, that are overseeing this process, but as they say, they can't help any more than they're asked. So they can't violate our free will. So developing that, studying that, exposing yourself to that, and allowing it to become a reality, then, I mean, I know my own process, it certainly helped heal my fear. Because if you don't know that, if you're in doubt, if you think when you die you disappear, and there is no more you, then how could you not be afraid? You have to be afraid, because, if you die, you disappear. Now, is that true or isn't it? I'm sure it isn't true. But I wouldn't expect anyone to do it blindly. You have to start investigating this. Not from a religious sense, but from looking for the evidence of it that you can count on, because
the word life, just by its very definition, life means eternal, because life is life. Life has no opposite. How could it be? How could it? If you're alive, there is nothing opposite to that. Now, there again, you say there's life, there's death, but then how can there be death with life? You see what I mean? They won't fit in the same space at the same time. They're not opposite.
But you know what? Somebody's logical mind, they're not going to grasp that. That's a good concept, but a person's logical mind,
logical mind.
Well.
Well,
let's put it this way. When you're in a physical body, you only have senses to know this physical world.
Right.
And so, this is all you see. If this is all you see, it would be a logical conclusion that this is all there is. Okay? And so, if this is all there is, then if I die, there's nothing else. Okay? Just taking empirical evidence of your physical senses says, what you see is just a physical world, physical experience. You smell, you see, you hear, but very few people get any kind of validation that they can trust that there's more than this. Now, that validation and trust is what heals your fear.
Right.
Because
but I would suggest them coming over to the website. You have those channels, posted channels.
Right.
It created such a powerful chord right then. And it's not like a global channel. I mean, I've heard people channel before. But the way that, let's call it Girlfriend X channel, was so tuned in to the source that she was channeling with such clarity and depth that it was really chilling. So, they're going to get from not only your book, but from your channeling and the other material that you're going to be bringing to, the blogshirt.com on a regular basis. it's going to start to ring for them. It's going to hit. If they keep their mind open to it, they're going to get the feeling that if they only rely on their five senses and they only see and they only believe in the physical, that they're truly going to start to get that feeling that, you know, I've been in the dark for too long.
Mm-hmm. Well,
those channels are extremely powerful.
Yes.
And to read the book, at least get an idea of the way the law are trying to communicate with us. It's funny because you get such exact dates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your book kind of lays it out, the future timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see many books laying out a future timeline in that sort of sense. It says, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is when you're going to send. This is when these things are going to start to occur. This is the time period that will be involved. And, I mean, it's extremely well laid out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I wrote the book realizing that this book is not for believers. It's for people that are seekers. It's for people not that want to believe in anything, but want to find out.
Right.
Because you see, the way both my story and David Wilcox's story, keep in mind, I'm an author, and as an author of the book, I just focused on the story of David Wilcox, Edgar Cayce, and these messages. But while I was writing it, they contacted me directly, and I had extreme validation that this was real. And over a period of time, I determined it was positive, and
this is the most important thing of what really told me what you're telling, what you're talking about right now was so real, is that the message was totally positive. Explain that a bit, because that I think is truly important to the reader when it comes to negative sources and true positive loving sources.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference.
Well, I think I should give a cosmology here. So, the way that I've learned this, the big picture of everything works. Now, I'm just going to say this, and it's up to anyone who hears this to investigate it for themselves, because not to believe this blindly, but for some people it'll resonate immediately. Their intuitively they'll tap in and say, hey, I think that makes sense. But we go through many, many, many lifetimes, and we go through many different dimensions as we evolve our being. And there's something that you could call group energy, which everyone really knows what group energy is. It's probably the most basic drive of a human to experience group energy, whether it's to have family and a wife that you love, whether it's to have a Saturday night of intimacy with somebody, whether it's to join the local gang and feel part of something, whether it's to go to your church and feel camaraderie, whether it's to sit in a movie, or whether it's to, you know, to go to a spiritual gathering, or listen to music, or live in a nice neighborhood. Those are all examples of group energy. And the basic drive of the human to experience group energy. And most of us don't experience enough of it, and we feel alienated, separated. And we're always trying to break through our alienation, be a part of them. Well, this is really a key to the way we evolve, because the more lifetimes you live, even though you don't remember anything from one lifetime to another, your ability to experience group energy expands if you're learning your lessons.
Very well said.
And probably the greatest experience of group energy is what Ra called the Law of One, which means being able to see anything and everything in life as an extension of yourself. And when you do that, you suddenly sit down with someone and suddenly there's something that happens that's magical, and suddenly you're not even trying to do anything, and if it's the right person, you suddenly have what you could call a vibe and a comfortability. I mean, the reason we're doing the show is because you and I have created that with ourselves, and we recognized it and acknowledged it. We didn't do it because we're ambitious to do a show or anything else, but because we experienced that energy. We said, well, if we can experience this energy and put it down in a way that other people feel it also, then we're doing a great job because we're sharing the energy with people that listen and that tune into it. So group energy is the law of one. And then as you go through higher and higher levels of evolution, this is where there's a mistake here, which if anyone studies my work and David Wilcott's work, probably other people do, but I draw it myself because I know I trust myself. Study this work, there's the examples of where evolution for a human goes at the very highest level, which is what you could call a group soul. And a group soul is essentially group energy that no longer has bodies. And it's a group energy of perhaps millions of individual souls that at one time, millions or billions of years in the past, had bodies like ours and gone through this evolution through all these different stages to where they now exist in a higher dimension, very close to what we call the one infinite creator or God, and they help planets at lower levels of evolution go through their own process of growth.
I don't want to expound on this because I've had questions about how do you know there's higher dimensions? What? How would you picture a higher dimensional being? And what does higher dimension mean? How can other dimensions be around us at all times on a different frequency?
Some
people, when they use a record player, mm-hmm. they put on a record and it plays a song.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain frequency or wavelength that means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody can put on 10 record players, 10 different records, and there's 10 different songs being played. Mm-hmm. And if you listen, you can hear each song individually.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them collectively make a whole new sound, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's similar to how this higher dimension works. It's different. You can have these different frequencies, wavelengths, not interrupting each other, but actually in moving in different directions, where they're all there as a symphony,
mm-hmm.
but they're all individual in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have been in this experience, and I keep trying to reverse engineer it so my logical linear mind can understand it.
Right.
And that's not necessarily necessary. Some people don't need that linear understanding. They just experience it directly, whatever. But the way my linear mind has made an attempt to explain how this works, and maybe this will help someone else understand it, is that higher dimensions could be compared to timelines that are going at different rates than the one we're in. We know that time is not an absolute. Einstein proved that the faster towards the speed of light, time moves at a different rate. Now, once time is not an absolute, that opens the door to a lot of possibilities, because to all our physical senses, to all our awarenesses, time seems to be an absolute. Now, suppose there's timelines running at different rates than the one we're in, and they kind of all collect on top of each other. And as you move into another timeline, you leave this reality, and you move into the new timeline reality. And then there's another timeline reality above that. Now, you know, for all the spiritual, I've read many, many spiritual metaphysical things, and oftentimes they refer to the eternal now. Now, in a sense, the eternal now might be where time stops and where the center or the creative force or God stems from, radiating outwards. So we are on this timeline, and if we just take the postulate that this parallel timeline will go up a ladder, and at the very top of the timeline, just before you go into the eternal now, you end up with these conglomeration of group energies that can work through all the other timelines and come into our space, either as energy or voices. Now, when it comes through as voices, it comes through in a trance or sleep state. As I have learned to understand this, when people sleep, we all go into other timelines. And when we awake, we return to this timeline. So we can't remember our dreams, normally, because the dreams are in the other timeline. Unless you make an effort to record your dreams. Now, Edgar Cayce was called the Sleeping Prophet. He tapped into this higher timeline when he was sleeping in a trance state. That's how he got his communications. And the two group souls that are at these very high timelines, so to speak, that I have been communicating with, one is Ra, and one is the Elohim. And as I understand it, both of these sources have been very closely involved with the evolution of mankind, and very likely connected with the beginnings and ongoingness of religion. The problem is, when a pure source comes through somebody, and a religion gets started, suddenly, after the person's dead, the religion is run by people that don't have that same connection. So it now becomes an institution instead of chaos always creating into something. You know, the deal is each of us has the potential to create out of chaos, in which case we're going up to the top and we're operating ourselves out of energy rather than thought. You know, out of thought, people who try to do good say, well, I'll give money to a charity, and I'll walk an old lady across the street. Out of chaos, you suddenly start seeing the energy patterns, and you read the energy all the time, and you flow with the energy, and the energy takes you and carries you and brings you to circumstances. And suddenly, it's like letting go of letting God. That's the idea of that. Letting go and letting God is moving into the chaos and then recreating a structure of a higher order on the physical plane out of the chaos. And every person who's listening to this has the potential to do it. But they have to start out having the courage to get out of the rigidity and things they're afraid to let go of. Now, letting go doesn't mean you have to leave your job or your wife. It means you detach yourself from those things and move in your consciousness to that place where you're a creative force within.
I've read something a long time ago, kind of hit me now. How does somebody go about? If I were to put something down, I would say there's five absolutes for people to understand here in the third dimension. But the fastest way to enlighten spiritual growth, to knowing, is to do one thing and do it all ways. Mm-hmm. And that is meet somebody else. Or you come in contact with your friend or foe, or a stranger, or a situation. The first thing you ask yourself is, who am I? Before you speak, before you engage that situation, close your mind. Don't let your mind, your ape-like brain, run a million miles an hour with thoughts. Step back and you say, who am I? And if you really want to accelerate your spiritual growth, the next question would be, what would love do then? At that point, you're now taking it out of the realm of the physical and the thought process that are running through your ego, and you're opening up to a higher thought process. You actually change your entire frequency and vibration in that instant because you've asked a very specific question, and one that has to be found within you and will be found within you if you allow yourself to attune to your higher self. And that is, who am I? And then what would love do now? How nice is love? It will change your whole life as you progress down the path. And it won't make these immediate effects, but as you keep doing this more and more, it becomes automatic. And everything around you changes. And all the circumstances you thought could never be put in your life start to play. The whole new universe opens up. And with that becomes absolute acceptance of everybody, but you allow them to see their lives through you because you act as a mirror for their perfection. Two, it allows you to accept everything the way it is, because it is exactly the way it needs to be, and always will be exactly the way it needs to be, which ends the polarization of the negative and the positive, because there's really no such thing as negative. It's only degrees of positive, and you're trying to experience that contrast. But you got to step back, and get out of that dualistic life that you're living. And I think the most profound thing that you have to take when you start walking this new path is starting to see with your sixth sense. That means allowing love and forgiveness to work. And that means when you see a situation that you didn't step back from, or you forget to ask, who am I, and you feel angry, sad, upset, you're about to cry, whatever negative emotion hits you at that point, you need to refrain and think immediately that this didn't happen. I perceived it completely wrong, and that there's a higher purpose to this, so that not only am I perceiving it wrong, but that there is a proper, I don't know how to explain it, there is a truer meaning behind this, and that lesson is a lesson of love and a lesson of forgiveness. I think those five things are the most powerful understanding you need to come with, and the way to achieve that is immediately to ask yourself, who am I? Before you engage the situation, before you engage somebody, before you get angry at them, at the stoplight, the guy's not moving forward, or your wife throws a book at you, or whatever the case is, your son's screaming down the hallway, and you're getting this headache, and, you know, you always ask yourself, who am I? And it catapults you in human life.
You know, let me add some of my own experiences to what you're saying, and that is, oftentimes when people say, who am I? Or somebody asks, who are you? We're forced to have an identity.
Okay.
And so we create an identity. We say, well, I'm a stockbroker. I'm an accountant. I'm a songwriter. I'm an author.
They're actually applying the path to meet that answer. Then they're not doing it properly.
Well, I won't say they're not doing it properly. The fact makes right or wrong, okay? It's more that a person, from the way I look at it, it's like everyone creates their reality. So there's not a right or wrong way to create reality. So if a person wants to create a higher reality, then it's not like they're doing it wrong because they're creating a lower reality. But if they want to have a higher reality system, then they have to start looking at the things they're doing that hold them back from having a higher reality. So what happens is your subconscious listens to everything your conscious mind says. It's kind of like your conscious mind is actually a lever into vast worlds beyond your imagination. Your conscious mind is like the dashboard, like the key, like the steering wheel. I mean, sometimes I use the analogy like, if you didn't know there was an engine under the car would still drive. Okay? As long as you know where the steering wheel is, and the ignition key is, and the brake, and all the other things. Okay? So, it's like, these other dimensions could be looked at like this huge engine. And if you can figure out where the steering wheel is, and the key and ignition is, you can then become so much more powerful because you can access the huge engine of the other dimensions.
And that's what I want to do. But when you get into on one of your upcoming programs,
yeah.
I would love to lay out some specific people that can actually.
Well, we'll do it as part of the Win and Don show. Because, you know, this is, I mean, I like doing this better than doing my own show. There's more energy in it for me. I bounce off of you, we're bouncing off of your audience, I can feel all the energies of it. But simple language, just to take it, leave somebody with what they can do. First thing is imagine that it works this way. Don't believe it. Act as if maybe there's this huge engine that you're attached to, and you don't know where the controls are, okay? And then you're going to look for the controls in your conscious mind. Now, this who am I, one of the controls is that your subconscious, which is like the gateway to all these higher dimensions, hears everything you say. So when you say, I am an accountant, then you are programming your subconscious to believe, I am an accountant. That which makes me worthy in the world, people accept me because I'm an accountant, because I make money and I'm acceptable. Now, if somebody says, what do? You say, well, my job is an accountant. That's more accurate. I am an accountant. Or, I express myself as a songwriter. Or, I put some of my ideas down in a book, or I shared some of my experiences in the book. So, you know, maybe I look like an author, but that's just the worldly look at it.
Right.
In a sense, the truth of the matter is, I'm a part of infinity that's expressing itself in this small little body that's working through this. And this body is trying to figure out how to access as much of infinity as possible to get into this realm and into its experience. And that is how you do it. So each person has their own controls. It's going to be different for everybody. So there's not like one rule you can follow. Say, here's the way to do it. But start looking at these controls. For some people, one of the controls to access higher dimension is meditation. And other people, it's like hanging around spiritual masters. Other people, it's reading spiritual books. Other people, you know, God knows, for as many people as there are, there's many ways. But first thing is to take on the possible and then be open to what comes after that. Go to a medical school bookstore, see what books fall off the shelf. And I certainly recommend reading my book, because I believe the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is the direct connection to these other dimensions from perhaps the wisest source that ever has communicated to humanity, telling us how to do what we need to do right now to get to do exactly what we're talking about. And it's legitimized in the physical world because David is alive. David has a story, and then I have my own story I made my connections with me, proving that it was real, and my story, you can kick all the tires and nothing falls apart. I really had this experience, and I'm still having it, of ongoing communication with group souls in higher dimensions, and that they say that it's available to everybody, or not everybody, I would say everybody, but it is available for those who have pure intent. If you want to have this kind of experience and you want to help serve mankind, you can develop your own resonance with these high energies by reading their words in my books, okay? Because their energy comes through.
And that I would ask you if you could come to the show. In fact, I think we're about at the close of an hour. My tape is running out. So why don't I just, can I call in the light to close this thing out? Okay. Father, Mother, God, I'd like to ask just now for the presence of the light to surround Don and myself and every person that's tuned in and listening right at this moment, and that they can feel this experience of higher dimensions, which I'm calling light energy, move through their body. It's a vibration. It's not a physical sense where you can experience that you're not your body, but you're an energy inside a body. And your energy expands outside of yourself and reaches into your home, into the people you care about, into the people you have conflict with, and that you can become part of the healing of this planet right now. And that we ask the interdimensional sources, which I've learned to identify as Ra Elohim, to work with you if you ask and be available. And we ask this for the highest good of all concerned. This kind of power is not to be used for self-serving purposes. It's used for the good of humanity, people you care about, the highest good of all concerned. If you ask for something, that if one person should be hurt by what you're asking for, it won't happen. We ask that you be blessed, and that we can be a continuing, ongoing influence, if you choose that, in your own upliftment. What are you doing?
Understand it, because we're two people, just regular people,
with some great experiences that are trying to share them with each other, and they're going to get a feeling of familiarity mm-hmm. and comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Well, that's what I think, too. Yeah.
Definitely. With that familiarity and comfortability, I think they're going to tune in. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.